First, I want to introduce you to our setting. We are in a small village school in Alaska, somewhere in the Yukon. Mr. and Mrs. McIntyre are the teachers in charge of the school. This is their third year at the station. It is now November. They opened the school about the middle of August, so they are well along in their third year. Mr. McIntyre teaches the upper grades. Mrs. McIntyre handles the primary. Right now, Mr. McIntyre is in the school office working on his records. Mrs. Thomas, the education specialist, is having a conference with Mrs. McIntyre. Tonight is the second night of Mrs. Thomas' visit. Tomorrow, weather permitting, a small 180 Cessna plane will pick her up and take her to another village 300 miles away. Outside, a strong wind is beating against the building. Mixed rain and snow are falling. The clouds have hung low in the valley all day. Ice is forming, and big chunks are floating down the Yukon. Mrs. Thomas and Mrs. McIntyre are in the living room of the quarters. Supper is over, and the dishes and the kitchen are all in order. The babies have gone to bed. Earlier today, Mrs. McIntyre and Mrs. Thomas discussed the choice of a conference time to sum up the supervisor education specialist visit. They felt that during the quiet of the evening, they could carry on a conference without interruption. The first voice you will hear is that of Mrs. Thomas, education specialist.
Mrs. McIntyre, I can see from the appearance of your classroom that you and Mr. McIntyre have had a busy summer. You certainly showed good taste in redecorating your classrooms, halls, and diet kitchen. I especially like the way you used the burlap I sent you for covering your bulletin board and making drapes for your windows. The gloomy corner down the hall is new too, isn't it? You used that old mirror you had on excess property and the old cabinet you had thought of surveying. A fresh coat of paint surely makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yes, it really does, Mrs. Thomas. And I'm so pleased with the difference it makes in the appearance of the children. You know, even the boys have begun to primp a little.
You yourself, Mrs. McIntyre, set an excellent example of good grooming for the children. Children, you know, learn best by example. But what do you do with that little basket of buttons, scissors, needles, and thread I saw on that cabinet? Surely you don't leave your family sewing basket around in the grooming corner.
Although I'm not quite that careless, Mrs. Thomas. That's our Friday afternoon hobby work. The children have learned to sew buttons on their clothing and mend the holes and tears. It has become such a habit now that they go over and do those things at recess and after school.
Well, that's certainly fine. This is an idea I'd like to pass on to other teachers.
I'm glad you like it.
That was certainly a good supper you served tonight. How about all those vegetables? Didn't I ask you to save the vegetables I brought for your own family until after I had gone away?
Oh, those were vegetables from my own garden, Mrs. Thomas. Those you said I've been saving. I hope you won't mind. But, you know that new family that moved in, the Greasons? Well, they are new in the service and didn't have a chance to have a garden this year. And if you don't mind, even though I appreciate them, I'd like to send them on to them. We really had good luck with our garden this year. Well, we have potatoes, cabbage, turnips, and two big tow sacks of carrots. But somehow we didn't have any luck with our okra. I wrote to the extension service about that, but we haven't heard from them. Maybe you could tell us what to do about it. I don't know what's the trouble. Do you think it might be the soil or the lack of water? What could it be?
I can see that even though you've been in Alaska for 3 years, you still think of Oklahoma.
Well, I guess that's right.
You know, with the long days we have in Alaska, we do still have a short growing season when the weather is much too cold for okra to thrive.
Well, if you can't do any provision, since I confess can't get it very long without that okra. She do miss it.
Well, you surely are very thoughtful to think of sending vegetables to Mrs. Gleason. I know that they will appreciate it.
I know you have a lot, too. talk about now, Mrs. Thomas. How would you like a little coffee before we get along?
Well, I really like it. You're very thoughtful. I always hear that all these in your school, you're so thoughtful of people who come here.
Thank you.
Now, to get back to the appearance of your classroom, it seems that you have, by your own interest, created an attitude among your children. They take a real effort in keeping the classroom neat. There wasn't a bit of paper on the floor, and each child's desk seemed to be in good order. I couldn't help but notice the care with which each pupil placed his chair underneath his place at the table. Another thing which I noticed was the warm, friendly relationship between yourself and most of the children, and most of the children with one another. Yet there was a firmness that keeps things from getting out of hand.
Thank you, Mrs. Toast, but I like to think it's not my firmness, but the interest the children have in the activities that keeps things going along smoothly.
Well, you certainly have a point there. Interest is a large factor. I noticed several centers of interest, and I noticed too that the children were free to use them when assignments were completed. I couldn't help but notice the interest which Triffin showed in feeding the turtle that you have in the classroom. I was pleased too to see that your library table had several books about turtles and other water animals. The children were using them with much enthusiasm. Those two little girls, Susan and the little thing, having a fine time reading stories to one another.
They always do. I enjoy watching them.
And you know, John, Big John, showed me a book of pictures with short stories. But it seemed to me that you were just a little squeamish about that little boy. I believe his name is Maxim, the one with the long hair and ill-kept. His clothing was a little dirty, too, and his muckluks were untied and ragged. He tried to show you a book that he had found, but you seemed to push him away. He was happy with something he'd found and wanted to share it with you. The other children did not seem to want to share it with him either, and finally came over and showed it to me, and that seemed to give him some satisfaction.
Oh, that Maxim, he's my problem child. He's so dirty I can hardly stand it. Why, his ears even smell. He just doesn't fit in with the group.
Well, I can see that he would be a problem, and there's some truth in your statement, but really, you know, we just have to be willing to accept children as they are, accept each child for his own worth as an individual.
I suppose you're right. At least that's what they told us in college. But what can I do about it?
What do you know about his home situation? Have you talked this over with his mother?
Oh, no. Well, she doesn't even speak English. How could I talk to her?
Maxim has a sister. I believe her name is Agathia.
That's right.
She is in Mr. McIntyre's classroom, I think. She seems to speak very good English, and she's a very attractive young girl. Maybe you could consider her as an interpreter. Or perhaps she could take some responsibility with Maxim.
Well, I don't know. I don't know much about that family. I'll just have to discuss it with Mr. McIntyre. You know, he doesn't think much about going around in the village.
Oh, I see. Well, I wish you would give that a little thought. Sometimes we're surprised with what can be worked out. It's usually true. If we give the children, the people in our villages, an opportunity, they will work with us, and we'll find ways of working out many things that we cannot. While you were preparing supper, I had an opportunity to look at your individual pupil folders. You've certainly done a good job in keeping them complete and up to date. I was glad to see they included achievement tests, reinforcement tests, narrative and anecdotal reports, and other useful information. This certainly gives you a good basis for parent-teacher discussions.
I presume you use them in this way?
Well, not too much. As I said, these people don't speak English.
I see. Of course, that is a problem. But most of the people do understand a little English, some quite a bit. It seems to me, I remember that last year from my visit here, that remember you and I went around the village some, and most of the people could talk with me. Now, of course, they didn't understand every word I said, and I certainly didn't understand every word they said, but there were a few words, you know. I've always found that, I used to be out in villages too, and I always found that I could learn a few words of their language, and most of them knew a few words of mine, and then we could motion off the rest, you know, and really carry on good conversation.
You're pretty good at that, Mrs. Thomas. You've been here a long time, and you seem to understand the people well, all right.
Well, I've learned some, but I learn every day. I noticed, too, that your plan books were up to date, and that you did have flexibility in your work. As your work progressed and you needed to make changes, well, you did that, and that certainly is good. I noticed, too, this afternoon that you had made good provision for grouping. I noticed that your grouping was not set. Sometimes a child might be in his own group and in a group lower than his, and perhaps sometimes he would be in his own group and in the next group higher. That makes good provision for individual differences. I noticed, too, that on the desk we had recent issues of the Elementary Journal and the Ask Education magazine, and there were also a few current professional books, even one or two that went into me.
Well, yes, I try to keep up with my reading. And I'm proud to say that I'm the last member of the NEA.
Well, really, on the whole, Mrs. McIntyre, I'm quite pleased with your performance.
Really?
Yes, yes, I am.
Well, yeah, then there's something that I just can't understand.
Well, I wonder what that could be.
Little Rama Jones got her GS 9 rating, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
Oh, then he didn't die. From what I hear, I work just as hard as she does, and do even more. You yourself said that I'm in a good classroom. Nice words, all right. But people like real appreciation. I just get tired of your nice talk. It's not easy to live out in these places. I just work and work and run up and up, and nobody appreciates it. I get tired of it. Mr. McIntyre says if he was me, he just wouldn't put up with this foolishness anymore. This talk. It's just a way to get more work out of me. That's all it really is. If you really mean it, you put it where it makes some difference, on the paycheck. As far as I'm concerned, I don't care so much about the money. Although I could use it. But it's honor. It's prestige. How do you think? It looks to everybody. Where's my clear? How do you think it looks when Mrs. Jones got hers and I didn't? Well, I know people are talking about it all right, because I heard some talk on the radio about it the other night. How do you think I feel anyway?
No, really, Mrs. McIntyre, I'm glad you brought this up. I understand how you feel about it. Sometimes when I used to be out in the village schools, I felt the same way.
I don't see how you could say that, still not do anything about it.
Well, Mrs. McIntyre, there are certain criteria and clues that have been set up and developed for evaluating teachers before the GS-9 rating for quality teaching is given, and those are followed quite closely. Would you like to see them?
I don't know if it'd do any good or not.
Well, let's try. Let's look at them together. I brought a set with me. In fact, I have two sets, and we can each take one and talk about them together, and then I think it would help both of us. But first, I do want to say that we in the Fairbanks office have thought of you as one of our best teachers, one who will come here.
That's a cute way of showing it.
We've all felt that you were one who would come, who now comes very near the requirements for GS-9 quality teaching. I have those criteria here in my folder. Let me get them out and let's look at them together and evaluate things. I think it'd be a help to both of us. Now, will you look at this copy and we'll just look at them together.
I don't know if it'd make any difference who made them anyhow.
Well, there are many people who've had a part in this, Mrs. McIntyre. Of course, there were the people from the central office and the people from our junior office, from the district offices, all of the specialists from the district offices. And don't you remember last spring the questionnaire that was sent out to all teachers? I'm sure you got one. I know you did, because I remember on your own when you returned it to the office. You know, on the questionnaire we asked teachers to cooperate with us and tell us what they thought about criteria and clues. And I remember on your paper there were some very good, some very constructive things. Don't you remember that?
I thought you were interested in us. I thought you thought we were working hard. I thought you wanted to see teachers get better pay. I thought you were going to do something about it.
Well, yes, really, that is the purpose of it, and it is coming to that. It just takes a little time. Now, we can't all achieve on the GS-9 level for quality teaching right away. And by looking at this and being able to think what are our strong points and where are the points that we can improve, there are certain little weaknesses, you know, none of us are perfect, and however good we are, we can all improve. So by looking at that, and...
You mean this is not the final answer? You mean there's still some hope?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I'll have another chance?
Certainly. Certainly you will. Now, can we look at this together? Do you think...
you want some more coffee?
Well, I think that'd be very nice.
I'm sorry, but I've been thinking about this a long time, and it just got me upset.
Well, yes. I'm sure it would. We all knew... That this sort of thing was going to happen when the GS-9 position for quality teaching was set up. We all knew that, but we have to expect it and realize it is just a part of the job, and it is a goal to work toward, and look at it that way.
I'll try.
Now, if we look at teacher as a director of learning, and then here's an area devoted to planning. We already, in our discussion tonight, have talked about your lesson planning, and that you have given a great deal of thought to lesson planning, that your planning is flexible. And so, you see already your first point is real fine. But let's look at the second one. People teacher planning considers resources and talents available. How do you interpret that? People teacher planning.
Well, I try to help them with that. They're just little children. I don't think little children can just make their own plans, do you?
No, that's true. But this says pupil-teacher planning, and by that, of course, we expect the teacher to be the leader but to include the children in the planning. The teacher is not dominant. Do you understand a little just what we mean by pupil-teacher planning?
I think so.
And then let's go on to number three. Material presented shows recognition of environment and utilization of its resources based on pupil needs. Now, can we think about the work going on in the light of that criteria?
You're telling me about experience charts, of course. And I have that.
Yes. Now, last year when I visited you, you remember we talked the whole evening about experience reading, didn't we?
Oh, yes. You put my chart on it, didn't you?
Do you have a chart?
Oh, yes. Can you see it?
No.
Hold on. Just a minute. Look. Isn't this a beautiful picture? Look at that blue sky. And look at the little boy knocking the nuts down off the tree. Well, the boys just love to see that. And see his sister down here picking up the nuts? Here's mother. And they're all dressed in the fall clothing? Well, now that's what we spoke about, isn't it?
Well, yes, that is a nice picture. And no doubt the children do like the bright colors.
Oh, yes, they talk about this, and they say the children are happy.
Yes, they are. You can tell they're happy by the expression on their faces, can't you?
And you see here, too, I didn't forget what you told me about repeating words. I've used this word work several times, and the children know it, too. They know all of these words.
Yes, you have. You've provided for repetition of words. And that's real fine. And I'm just real glad to see you are using that chart holder that I brought you last year. The details of chart construction are really perfect. You have your words well spaced. Your printing is beautiful. The margins are good. And the mechanics of it, from that point of view, it's an excellent piece of work. Now, the story content, Dick can work, Jane can work, Dick and Jane can work fast, Dick and Jane can get nuts for mother. Now, Mrs. McIntyre, do you remember in our discussion of experience reading last year that we talked about who would be the characters in experience reading? And I see here your characters are Dick and Jane, just like Scott Forsman books.
Oh, but I remember the point you told me, that the children should know these words. And we're trying to learn these words.
Yes.
But they do know them, too.
Yes. Well, that part of it is real good. But the experience reading, now we say experience reading, is that just the same? Does that have just the same meaning for you that reading any reading book? We say experience reading. What does that mean?
Well, I thought you meant things the children do. Our children work, and those children are working, and we have the word work here.
Yes, but in experience reading, the characters are the children themselves, the children in your own local setting. And the story content would be about the things they enjoy doing, the things they do in their own living.
No.
Did I make that plain to you?
Well, I guess I didn't quite follow there. I thought something just that we use these words.
Yes, but now from our discussion now, do you get the idea of the difference?
Well, I'm not sure yet.
I see. Well, you have children in your classroom. One of your little one's name is Emily, I think, and we would want to have a story about Emily or about Susie, the children in your own classroom. And I do have with me, I brought with me some samples of charts that were worked out in other schools. And
I'd like to see them.
Yes. Now, let me get that.
Oh, that's pretty. Oh, did Judy make that?
Yes, I did.
I like that little boy standing up there warming his hands at the fire.
Yeah.
And those dogs, too. I know the children like the dogs there.
Now, this chart was worked up in one of the other schools. The children made the illustration. They made the story about things they like to do. And this is a story about something they did last spring at the close of school. Then when they came back in the fall, they made a story about what had happened during the summer, about something they had done. This is a story about a trip they made. In the story, we went to Seal Camp. Seal Camp was at Beachy Point. Father drove the dogs. Trapping rode on the sled. Nastasha rode in Mother's parka. Now, do you see, those children are the characters in the story, not Dick and Jane in Scott Forsland.
Oh, I think I see that now. I do know the children would like this because there's a sled, there's even a baby. And the little house, the fire, the snow, they would like that. And these pretty colors, I can hardly believe a child did that.
Yes, well, they enjoy doing things within their own experience, something about themselves.
I thought we had to have a perfect picture.
Well,
but I see this is colorful.
That's right. And they can put themselves into the story and they have some feeling about it. Then they understand it.
Well, I can certainly see how they would like this one all right.
Yes. Now, I do have here, I can see that maybe a little book that I have here would be of some help to you. It is a book by Lamarone Lee, Learning to Read Through Experience.
I'm always eager to see a new book.
Yes, I know you are. I noticed that this afternoon. And I'll leave this book with you. Now, you see here, it gives you some illustrations. It gives you some techniques of the story, building story content, and so on. I'll leave that with you.
Well, that looks interesting.
Huh?
I see a few pictures here, all right.
Yes.
Just right along with what you're saying. That looks interesting, Mrs. Thomas.
Yes, I think you'll enjoy that. We were talking about environment and use of it. So let's look again at our criteria.
Let me pour you just a little bit more coffee.
That'll be real fine. Thank you very much. This does help and brighten up a conversation, doesn't it?
I think I have to make it up to you a little bit after what happened before.
Yeah, we won't think about that, you know. We understand these things. I noticed this afternoon you were carrying on a science lesson about the different forms of water. You were reading from one of the basic texts, and there was an explanation of snow and ice, fog, and the children read that, and then you discussed it with them. But somehow, nothing was tied in with what was happening outside.
I'm right with you now, Mrs. Thomas. I know you're going to say, with all this world right at my fingertips here, I'm sticking to my textbook.
Yes, that's right. Because right outside the door, just a few feet from the front door of the classroom, was the Yukon going by. And it was full of floating ice. There was the fog, the clouds hung low in the valley. And there was snow and there was rain. A perfect example of what you're reading about. If it could have been tied in with that story content, there would have been been understanding.
I guess I just took too much for granted. I know these children live in that, but I just took too much for granted.
Well, you're quick to pick up these changes, and I know that now that you have had this, we've talked this over, that you will.
Thank you. I'll try.
Now, we look on carefulness in assignment. Let's look at that. We did talk about this afternoon about your assignments and instructions, and I did notice that the children seemed to understand the work that you'd outlined them for them to do. They went ahead without any difficulty, and most of them, nearly all of them, were able to complete the assignments that you had given them.
They listened carefully. I'm proud of that.
Yes. Now, let's look at number three. How do you feel about that? Assignments include motivation.
Well, now, I think I know what you're leading to, Mrs. Thomas, but I'll have to defend myself a little bit on that. I think the children are motivated. I think they are interested. But that's a leading question. I know you're going back that I should tie it in with the child's living.
And,
of course, I have to agree.
And you do feel, then, that it would make a difference.
Yes, I can see how I can use this to make it easier for me, really, now that you have explained it.
Yes. And let's look along now on the next page of the criteria. Let's see what we find there and evaluate this together in the light of what we've seen and talked about during the day. Do you see anything there? Can you point to something there that you feel you carry out fully? Now, I believe that I do. Methods for developing skills and habits for effective use of the library. It seemed to me, as I remember your library table, that you were doing just that.
I tried to keep the children up with what's going on.
And then as we look along, do you think there are other things that maybe will stand some slight improvement?
Right away now, I see some here that you'll point out. So I'll speak you to them. Here's methods, use environment and its resources, and the suitability of methods used. Now I can see you brought that out well, how it could improve there. And then down under six, methods, evidence, fairness and clarity of teaching is shown by effective use of resources.
Yes.
That's low again there. And I think just a moment ago I saw another place that came out too. I believe you would say that if I brought the children's environment and experiences more in, that I would have better luck with this real English I'm working so hard with right now.
Yes. And do you think this plays right into the use of non-textbook materials?
Oh, yes.
Yes, it does.
You know, I see another one here you caught me on a while ago, too.
What was that?
Consideration of the individual.
Yes, there's the maxim by
the teacher respects the worth of a child as an individual and helps him set standards leading towards his highest potential.
You're very right. Very right. How about the teacher and pupil-teacher evaluation?
Well, now, that's just goes right along with what you asked about planning a while ago. I've always felt that these children are too young for that. I check them. I give all these tests and all.
Yes.
I think you noticed that in my
mind. Oh, yes.
But I just didn't feel they were able to do this, any of this themselves.
Yes. Well, I think you will find that with the younger children, of course, they will need to be led, but gradually as you pursue this, that they will be critical of themselves and find ways of improving. Now, I think Mrs. McIntyre, I will leave this criteria with you, and you have then some means of self-evaluation from time to time.
Thank you. I think this will be quite useful.
Yes. Now, before I do that, I know it's getting late, and you do need to have your rest, but before we leave this, let's turn over to the teacher as a member of the profession. Tell me that you were a life member of the NEA.
That's right.
That you belong to the Alaska. You belong to the Alaska Education Association. That certainly is shows high professional interest. But there's this problem of radio conversation.
Well, what do you refer to there, Mrs. Thomas?
You mentioned earlier this evening about having heard or played a part in a radio conversation about Mrs. Alma Jones reading as a GS-9 for quality teaching.
Yes.
Do you remember that conversation?
Well, yes, I'd just as soon forget it. I'm not too proud of it. But, and I'm sorry about my part in it. However, I was provoked at the time, and that was before any of this came out. Now, I'm not excusing myself, but I heard these other comments about my not getting this rating, and I admit I was quite provoked, and I said things I shouldn't have said. But I am sorry about it.
Yes, it just happened, and I was visiting another station that night, and I overheard the conversation, and really I was surprised that you spoke that way. I really didn't expect that of you. We do have radio transmitters and receivers in nearly all our stations, because we believe it's an advantage to the people and of the village and to the teachers. But sometimes teachers do forget that they are not within the privacy of their own homes when they're carrying on radio conversations. That the world really is their audience.
I certainly agree with you, and I think you will, as you said, you were surprised. This isn't a characteristic of mine. I don't indulge in this, and I'm sorry this happened.
Yes. Well, I think then, since we've talked this over, I will leave that with you, and it is getting late, and I know that you have family duties, you have to get up early in the morning, and maybe now is a good time to just stop and take a night's rest.
But thank you, Mrs. Thomas. I feel a little better now than I did before.
Now, I do want to say, though, that you will be visited from time to time during the year, and with the points that we've brought out tonight, we'll be looked for.
We have always looked forward to your visit here. Any visitors here are welcome, and we've always appreciated your help.
Well, thank you very much. We have had good times together, haven't we, Mrs. McIntyre?
We really have.
It's really been a pleasure to work with you.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it, too.